The word today is unfair. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Have you ever experienced how unfair life can be? Jesus even seems to reinforce this idea when he says, "The last will be first, and the first last." Here to discuss God dealing fairly with us is Pastor Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Unfair.
Sometimes life is unfair. Jesus tells a story about how unfair things can seem. In Matthew chapter 20, he says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and still found others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received the denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Oh, that's an interesting phrase. The last will be first, and the first will be last. It's one of the greatest of teachings that Jesus uses. And he talks about a kind of reversal of roles, that people are treated differently than we would expect them to be treated. It ties right in with this idea that life is not fair all the time. One of the things that is a lesson in this story from Jesus is the sovereignty of God. Just like the owner of the vineyard, God has the power, he has the means, he can do as he wishes. He can distribute his gifts, be they physical and material gifts or spiritual gifts, to whomever he wants. That's one thing we have a really hard time with. We look around sometimes and we say, "Why did so-and-so get more than I did? How come I have to live in poverty? Or how come everyone seems to be getting more than me?" This can be very difficult on our mind and our spirit. And it's not easy for us to accept that God has distributed material things differently to different people. It's one of those very difficult things in life, and he doesn't really apologize for it. He simply says that he can do as he wishes with his gifts. Well, that's something that is really a challenge for people to accept. But as a Christian, you realize that the most important thing is not the physical abundance or the material things we get in this life, but it's the spiritual blessings that flow into life eternal. And in that sense, there's many, many who are swimming in material things and goods and yet have such a poverty of spirit. and they really won't be received into eternal mansions for all of the goods and materials and services that they consume in this life. That won't help them one bit to be received into eternity. So we have to watch out that we don't misjudge that situation. There is a component of sacrificial giving, or giving of the self, in this story that Jesus discusses here. There is an interesting context, an interesting series of events that surrounds this parable of the workers in the vineyard. Let me just quickly summarize for you the things that were taking place and the stories that Jesus was telling so that you understand why he told the story. In Matthew 19, there is a rich young man that comes to Jesus and tries to discuss with Jesus what he must do to be saved. He ends up being told that he should give away all of his wealth and then come follow Jesus. And he leaves sad because he's not ready to do that. He's not ready to be a servant yet. Then there's the parable of the workers in the vineyard that we just heard. Following that, there is a prediction of Jesus, whom he says that he will be handed over into the hands of sinful men, that they will condemn him to death, they'll turn him over to be flogged and crucified, and on the third day, he'll be raised to life again. It's very important that those predictions of his future follows this story of the landowner, the vineyard owner, and the idea of the last will be first and the first last. Jesus would reverse roles. He, the master, the teacher, would become least or last for our sakes. And then finally, there is John and James' mother's request that one of her two sons sit on the right and the other sit on the left hand of Jesus when he comes into his kingdom, into his power. You notice that there's a lot of events or things that were taking place that dealt with prominence or leadership or being first or getting ahead. And in reaction to all of that, Jesus teaches his story in order to give us the truth that we must be servants, that we must make ourselves less, like John the Baptist, who said, I must become lesser, he must become greater. Well, that happened when John's followers all started flocking after Jesus. But John the Baptist understood the principle that if he was truly serving God, it would be Jesus who would be elevated and not himself. It's a very good, humbling lesson for all of us. And there's a kind of an interesting truth here also in this story from Matthew 20. These individuals who were so upset, so angry, because they expected to receive even more than what was promised to them, they had no joy or happiness for the other people. The other guys were unemployed longer than they were. They might have had much less than these guys that were hired earlier. Possibly the guys that were hired earlier were better workers. Maybe they'd been employed several days versus the others. We don't know all the details. We do know one thing, that they did not have any joy for the other individuals who received a bigger blessing. And that's kind of an interesting thing. Sometimes people can be upset over individuals that come to the faith, come to Christ late in life. And they might have been horrible, despicable people. But then they come to Jesus, possibly right before their death. And Christians might ask, do you think that was genuine? Do you think it was authentic? Do you think they're really saved? Oftentimes my answer is, sure, why not? Why couldn't God have saved somebody? And isn't it much more to his glory that he takes somebody who was so off track, somebody that was so worldly and sinful, and brings them into the kingdom, saves them for life eternal? That's to God's glory and praise. And we should be excited about that and happy for that, because they will receive eternal life, just as we're receiving eternal life. But do you know what happens? Sometimes we get this idea that Well, I've been good. I've been trying to follow God's will. Somehow I deserve more than they do. That's the position of the people who bore the brunt of the work in the heat of the day. If you've been following Jesus all along in your life, sometimes you get a little envious of people that received a gift of salvation, even though they've done so much less for God than we have. Let's get rid of that kind of thinking right away. That is a poisonous attitude. It's a self-righteous attitude. Really, what this parable is telling us is that we should be happy over those that are being brought into the kingdom later on. It's to God's praise and glory that they're saved at all. And we who have been serving God, have been hired on by God, should be delighted over the fact that if we've walked with the Lord Jesus, we've had a lifetime of his blessings. I'll tell you one thing, the Christian who stays with the Lord over their lifetime avoids all kinds of sins and worldly activities that bring stress into your life. Oh, disgusting arguments and anger, possibly health effects that hurt our bodies. All those kind of things are avoided if we walk with the Lord Jesus. So we shouldn't be upset when people come to the faith late. We should be excited and happy, thinking about the eternal result and the growth of the kingdom of God for eternity. You know, ultimately, Jesus is the greatest example of servanthood. Like he said, that he would go up to Jerusalem. He would be handed over. He would be flogged and crucified and then raised to life again. He was going to practice. He was going to demonstrate this very principle. He, the greatest, the Son of God, the incarnate second person of the Trinity, would become a beaten down, condemned man. The first would become last, so that the least could become first. He took our place so that we could be elevated, so that we could be saved. You know what? Life isn't going to be fair. There's always going to be someone that's got more than you and gets better than you. So what? Jesus has died for you. He has won you from your sins that you can go from last to first.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.